Good evening, everyone. Hi, this is Brother Hilliard. Some people may know me as the Fearless Leader from my previous podcast I used to do called Real Talk Live 216. But this evening, we do not have Pastor Register present. She has a COVID, and she will not be here this evening. So she has asked me to stand in her place. So I hope I do the best I can this evening. I hope that you guys enjoy the topic this evening. Feel free to chime in when later on in the show when I'll be inviting people or just asking people to participate and to give their suggestions, their opinions, their comments. But we have a really great show lined up for you this evening. For the ones that have just joined us, want to say good evening. I hope you guys have and are having a great week, and wish you nothing but the best. To call in this evening, you can call in at 646-668-8217. Once again, the call-in number is 646-668-8217. Don't know if you want to invite other people to call in and join this conversation this evening, but you're more than welcome to. Once again, my name is Brother Hilliard, a.k.a. Fearless Leader. So looking forward to this conversation this evening. So you're probably asking yourself right now, what is tonight's topic? Tonight's topic is, does bad company corrupt good character? It's something that I was talking to Pastor Register earlier this week. Felt like God had laid this on my heart. I had shared this with my wife, shared this with Pastor Register, and even went so far, guys, as to have a little curriculum slash lesson for the children that I teach during the week at my current job. But I didn't get a chance to do the lesson with them this week. Hopefully, might be able to do it tomorrow. But tonight, you guys are going to be the first ones to hear it. So let's dig into this. I'm actually coming out of a story that is from the Bible, the story of Abraham and Lot. But before I get into Abraham and Lot, let me tell you where I got this topic from. Growing up, I don't know, guys, if you ever heard these sayings, but I used to hear these sayings all the time as a kid, like birds of a feather flock together, like peas in a pod. One bad apple, one bad potato spoils the rest, or as they used to say, one bad apple can spoil the tree. Cut from the same mold. You know, all these different sayings that, you know, you used to hear, like, you know, usually when bad company is around company, they all tend to fly together. You know, they tend to all be on one accord. When you have one bad apple mixed with the other good apples, does that one bad apple spoil the whole batch? One example could be, for example, I teach in a classroom, and sometimes if you lean up against the blackboard long enough, things on the board will get rub off on your clothes or get the rub off on your clothes. So these are all the things I heard growing up, you know. And, you know, I remember when I was growing up, my mom and my dad was always very careful. They always said that you can say, they used to always tell me, my mom in particular, to say, you can tell a lot about a person by the company they keep. It's a reflection on them. So I remember at times my mom would always ask me questions like, you know, especially during the weekend when I wanted to go to my friend's house, she would ask me tons of questions about that particular family or that particular friend. You know, how was his grades in school? You know, has he been suspended in school? Just different things. She just wanted to make sure that I hung around the right people. She didn't want me to get tainted by things that were going in the world. And quiet skeptics, I was born and raised in a very Christian, very spiritual family. So you can only imagine the things that were going on in our family. But with that said, I remember growing up and, you know, being a Christian, you sometimes, you know, grow up in a Christian home and you're very careful. I used to think that wearing jeans was a sin and things of that nature and listening to worldly music because the Bible says, you know, when you become a Christian, you're supposed to be different. We are a peculiar people. You know, we are in this world, but we're not of the world. And so growing up, you try not, you grow up with all these different ideas about what a Christian's supposed to be like and things of that nature. So when you grow up to be a Christian and things like that, especially being a teenager like myself, you tend to you tend to be careful who you hang around because you brought up with these Christian principles and these Christian things that you think that this is what a Christian's supposed to be. So you try not to hang around or be around certain types of people. And then, you know, this was also a question that, you know, I asked my wife earlier that, you know, just I don't think, in my opinion, and we'll talk about it later on in the show, I don't think God, when he's talking about in the Bible about bad company or bad company corrupts character, I don't think he was really literally saying that you can't be around people. I guess people who are not Christians. I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think that's what he was trying to imply. I just think he was giving us like a caution or a warning that if we do hang around bad people, there's a tendency, maybe a strong tendency, for some of their bad habits to rub off on us. And so I'll let you guys think about that and be the judge of that this evening. You know, this is, like I said before, this is just a topic for this evening that we're going to discuss. If time permit, I hope to share the story of the Church of Corinth. But if we don't, I'll say that for Pastor Register when she comes back next week. Hello. I have my lovely wife here, so you're probably wondering, like, why am I paused? I have my lovely wife here with me this evening. So she's going to, if she wants to, she can jump into the conversation. If not, she can just sit up here and look at me like I'm crazy. But let's get started. So I want to talk about Abraham and Lot. Abraham, as you guys already know, it has been called the father of many nations. Abraham had a nephew named Lot. And so if anybody knows about the story, Abraham got instructions from God to go to a land. And the land of the name was called Canaan. And so Abraham didn't know exactly where he was going. He just basically obeyed God for his instructions, and he took his family, took his cattle, took his herd, took his gold, took his silver, took all his belongings, and he went to the land of Canaan. As he was going to the land of Canaan, Lot, his nephew, wanted to go with him as well. And not only Lot, but his people, Lot's people as well, and Abraham, a herdsman as well. So Abraham had herdsmen, and Lot had herdsmen. So they went to the land of Canaan. And as they were traveling to the land of Canaan, Lot's herdsmen began to get into an argument with Abraham's herdsmen. Because if you know anything about the story, they both had a lot of things in regards of gold and silver and cattle and herds. So they, as in today's society, you would really call them very rich, rich people, rich men. But they had so much stuff, guys, that they had so many belongings that it was just too much for the land. And so that's how the whole argument started, was basically, well, we have our belongings and you have your belongings. There's not enough space for us all to just live in habitat in this one part of Canaan. But Canaan was so big that it was enough room to be on one side while another group would be on the other side. So Abraham just basically jumped in and became what, like, I would believe as a peacemaker. He jumped in and he said, well, you know what? I'm going to solve the problem right here. Lot, whatever land that you decide in Canaan, I will choose the other side. If you choose right, I'll choose left. If you choose the east, I'll choose the west. But I'll let you choose first. So Lot went over and he surveyed the land and things of that nature, and he saw a particular part of the land in Canaan where it was much fertile. It was much fertile than the other side that he saw. So to make a long story cut short, Lot decided to choose the fertile land, and Abraham chose the other side. But the part that Lot chose was not too far from a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. And as anybody knows, Sodom and Gomorrah was a city that was doing all sinful things, from men sleeping with other men, proscumity, incest. It was just a very sinful place. So Lot resided there. And so as the story continues, years later, there is two angels that appear at Lot's doorstep. These angels appeared as men, because if anybody knows, the land that Lot was at, it was basically men sleeping with men. So even though they were angels, they appeared as men. There was two of them. But they knocked on Lot's door, and Lot was going to give them, he was going to wash their feet. He was going to provide them shelter for the night. He was going to provide them dinner and everything. So they came inside Lot's home. And as they came into Lot's home, minutes later, the men in Sodom and Gomorrah came knocking on Lot's door, saying, you know, I know you have guests there. Why don't you let us in? We want to be with these men. And so Lot came outside, and he told the men, he's like, I'll give you an offer. My offer is basically is you can sleep with my two daughters, but I do not want you to sleep with the angels, the two men. And so the man that was knocking on the door was like, Lot, how are you going to tell us what to do? We allowed you to live here. We allowed you to take up residence here. And we are not going to agree with that. We want the two men that we saw coming into your home. And so Lot was based on the decision as to what to make. So what happened was the two angels that were inside the home with Lot opened up the door, pulled Lot inside, and then that's when they shared with Lot that God had sent them, that they were angels, and they had basically came there to basically destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, because Sodom and Gomorrah was basically the sins that they had committed. The sins reached up to heaven where it was like a stench to God's nostrils. And so basically the angel was really there to basically destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because it was just so much sin. But to make also to shorten the story a little bit more further, what eventually happened was as they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, as you already know, Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And as Lot and his daughters were running, his wife was running, as I said before, she was running. And as she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt because God had told them to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, not to look back, keep moving forward. And then after they left Sodom and Gomorrah, he was going to destroy the whole entire land with fire and brimstone. And so as they was running, as she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. And the only people that survived was Abraham's wife, Lot himself, and his two daughters. And so Lot and his two daughters ended up into a mountain, a cave called Zoar. And that's where they stayed. And then after they got into the land of Zoar, that's when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's how the whole story started. So people, when you hear this story, the first thing people always say, well, when Lot got to Sodom and Gomorrah, why didn't he just leave? It seemed like in the story that somehow some of the ways of the Sodomore ways did or did not, did it rub off on Lot by him being there, being a resident there. It seemed like he wanted to do the right thing. He tried to give them another offer as to the sort of solution. But if you look at the whole story how I see it, did the bad company that he keep, did it rub off on Lot? Because he was given a choice. He was given a selection as to what part of the land he picked. And he so happened to pick the area where there were so many simple things going on. So some people probably would ask, well, why did he pick that? Why would he pick that part of the land? Did he know what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's why he might have picked it? Or did he pick that land because he wanted to be far, far from his uncle? He wanted to stand on his own 2 feet. Or did he pick the land because he knew that it had fertile land, and so he could get more and more money and more cattle and become even have more money? It seemed like for Abraham, he approached it in a way where he wasn't selfish. He tried to solve the problem, and he allowed him to select which land he wanted. So to this evening, we're just going to talk about, does bad company corrupt good character? Some people say not only good character, but does it corrupt morals and things that you have? What do you think, why? What do you think?
What's the question?
The question is, does bad company corrupt good character in the story as an example of Lot and Abraham?
I think it can go twofold. I think it can, in history, almost build character from the aspect that you had mentioned, like, did he know about Sodom being there? And I believe that he did. And I believe he was had a vision of what he thought Sodom would be, but got there and was like, whoa, it's a little more than I can handle. It's out of control, and that just causes me to reflect on areas in people's lives where we may see the signs, we may see the red flags, but it's beautiful because you mentioned about the land being fertile and beautiful to the eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you see that flaw on the other side and we downplay it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, again, we overlook those things. We overlook the flaws. We overlook the signs and we think, oh, it won't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The good outweigh the bad, or that it'll change. It won't be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in his case, it was different. I can only imagine how he felt going into a place and then it not be what he expected. Like, and if what I get from the story, even with like veering away from character almost, but
mm-hmm.
making like a permanent decision, where are you going to live? Where are you going to be? Off of just what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And how that shows up in life.
Mm-hmm.
How we can see a beautiful car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, it's nice. And we look at the name, and we look at the emblem, and we look at the things that are nice to the eye, the
mm-hmm.
responses that type of car might get.
Mm-hmm.
But we fail to look under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Or we might know, we hear the tinkling and things, and, oh, you know, it'll be fine. And then we're upset when we're on the side of the road, right?
Right.
So, like, we do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Temporary in the moment and make decisions that are long term, or you know, he's fine, look at him, and
mm-hmm.
we see a little flaw, like he might be a little selfish, or he may not be the most honest all the time, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, we overlook those things, and then things happen, and now maybe we have a child by this person, and now we have to deal with that individual for as long as that child is here, right,
mm-hmm.
for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So a little situation where, it started off as this is just cute, satisfy the need, because in that moment, the two of them had made a decision. You're going to go one way and I'm going to go the other.
Mm-hmm.
So in that moment, he had to make a decision. And he made it on what seems to be like what he saw,
mm-hmm.
not really digging deep as the can we venture out to the land, you know,
mm-hmm.
a couple of days and come back and then make a decision?
Mm-hmm.
it was just impromptu. Yeah, I'm going over there. And so as far as his character, I don't think it stated that he was a righteous man, being in an environment where others did not believe at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do when you're in a situation mm-hmm. where what you believe is challenged
that's
constantly?
It.
I can only imagine.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It, and God's word does say that we ought to be the light
yeah.
of the world, right?
Yeah.
So he was doing that. He was still praying and still, you know, seeking God and living a righteous life, he and his family. So he was being the light because he was being challenged and he was being watched. Yes, when the angels came to his door, you know, the land is, like, sick,
mm-hmm.
so they might see flesh or whatnot, but they were paying attention to him, right,
mm-hmm.
still. So he was not conforming to their behavior. He was still being true to his beliefs, and that says a lot as far as character. I'm sure it made it hard. I'm sure possibly there may have been some days where he doubted, like, Lord, like, I know you see this, like,
mm-hmm.
come on, like,
mm-hmm.
but to still hold fast to what we believe. Like, what do you do when what you see is not lining up with what you believe?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when we're
yeah.
promised all these things or
mm-hmm.
when we have a vision and it's just not playing out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, you know, I wouldn't call them, you get tired,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And you might try to go to a quick fix or, well, I'm going to just do this until, I'm going to do that until, and we make things worse. But we serve a God who's sovereign. We serve a God who understands,
yes.
and who will send help, right?
Right.
So he sent angels to give you, you know, lots of warning, like, hey, it's about to go down,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm gonna say that lot. You know, even though everything was terrible, thought about his possessions, right?
Mm-hmm.
The things I have, like, yeah, but I have all this, right? And it's almost like the material things, we're back at what we see and what we have. It's like, that's how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels are sharing, like, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're holding on to things. So
mm-hmm.
in our lives, what have we held on to
mm-hmm.
that has caused us to either miss out on what God has for us, cause destruction or unnecessary bouts or lands like us wandering longer in the wilderness because we're still trying to appease the flesh, the eyes, what we have. You know,
mm-hmm.
run for the hills, right? Get out of here, God
yeah.
and the angel.
Yeah.
We're out. And so as far as his character, I believe he stayed true to his beliefs. And I think God saw that honor that was sending help.
Yes.
Like, even when we're in maybe toxic relationships or in jobs that we dislike or,
mm-hmm.
you know, God, I think it's like parenting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if your kid nags you long enough or something or you give it to them, and some lessons they have to learn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you know your child, you know, I know why he picked that car, or I know why he,
mm-hmm.
you know, going to that school because he's into flashy things or she's into music. We know what pulls at the heart or the eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the same thing, like God knows what pulls us,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, catches our eye,
right.
knows the desire, right? So he desired something beautiful. He desired something nice and something that, you know, would cater to his family needs and his abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And Sodom did that, but
yeah.
it came with a price.
Yeah.
And God was so gracious, so merciful to, you know, honor his promise and send help.
Yeah.
And it cost them, you know, some things in the end, right, when they had to flee. But it just even still, like, his trust in God. When you
yeah.
get directions, God gives us directions, and it's called the Bible.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and
the Bible.
Yeah, you know, you know, we
tend to
you know, those are our angels who are telling us things, but we'll say, but God, this feels better. Or, but God, you're taking too long. And
yeah.
But God, I want this. And but God, I want that.
Yeah.
And we end up, as people always say, a little faulty, you know,
yeah,
at the end,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, you know, people will say, oh, she looked back. And we'll judge her, his wife, and things. But we've done it. We've looked back. We've doubled back to make sure people say, I just want closure. Do you really? You know, is it really worth it? And it's like a Bible verse that talks about, like, returning to the same vomit that made you sick. Like, why do you keep doing that? Like, just trust that I gave you a word, honor that, and move on. Move on. I think that's a character thing, that even with, like, fitness, right, working out,
yeah,
there are certain things we just have to say no to. Okay, prayer is powerful, but you can't pray calories away, you know. There are some things you have to stay away from. You have to be strong. And and if you don't, what? You see the results of that. You see the results in our choices. And I feel like that's how it kind of like showed up with a lot, like staying strong to what I believe, no matter who around me questions it or who looks back or, you know, like who goes against the grain. This is what I'm doing. So his character, I think it was tested.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was tried. And I think God pulled him out. He sent a word. I'm going to give you a way out because you remain steadfast.
Yeah.
You continue to seek me, and I remain to be the centerpiece of your life, the head of your life. You surrounded in all this chaos. I can only imagine how that feels to be the only one, right? Because we live in a world where we all want to blend. We all want to be light.
Mm-hmm.
And this walk is not for bumps. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. You're going to be isolated. You're going to be challenged. And you can also be so close to tragedy and destruction, right,
mm-hmm,
that it seems like, man, like, when would this end? But we serve God. Who,
yeah.
Even in our mistakes, even in our poor judgment.
Right.
Or just lack of,
right,
like, doing thorough research, right?
Right.
We were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
are people perish? Like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think, you know.
It's just a lot that comes from that.
Yeah.
For me, character is just, from what I, what sticks out to me most,
mm-hmm,
in, like, the passage is just, man, like, this how God still keeps you,
mm-hmm,
when we make decisions,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that may not be so great. Just the wrong decision. It was the wrong decision. Because just think, if he hadn't chosen that land, who was going there? Abraham.
Yeah, true.
Right.
True.
Because he said, if you go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. Someone was going to end up there.
Right.
And it was him.
And you know, it also goes about what you said earlier, and that is, you can't always judge a book by its cover. He judged by what he saw, and what he saw was a very fertile land.
We do that, but it will fool you. Your eyes will fool you. Feelings does not fool you. It will, like, you can't. That's why individuals, like, encourage you, do not take time to make a decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like, my granddad used to always say, like, if someone is pressuring you to buy something, if it's a get it today, or, you know, you this deal for this house, it'll only be here today.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Walk away from it.
Right.
What's for you, it will be for you. If it's pressure,
mm-hmm,
apply to it. Be cautious. Like, follow your gut. And so, like, we have to do research. And it's, we're human.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't make you a terrible person because you bought a house but didn't have the individual The people, the specs, who comes and
looks, the inspector.
The inspector comes and do it, because some things we do just, if I didn't, if I wasn't trained or shown or told or, you know, the how to successfully, the steps to successfully purchasing a home, or the steps to losing weight, healthy, and, you know, in a manner that's not detrimental, because we all can lose weight,
right?
And there are several ways you can do it. You can starve yourself, you can juice, you can, you know, get rid of meat. Terrible, you could take diet pills, and you got some people go on a, what is it, a alcoholic beverage diet, you know, if you will. But it's all these options where you can get it off, but it's the method that you choose.
And I think another thing to add on is once he saw the land, from, like you said, from his naked eye, you know, and he saw that it was fertile. Once he arrived at that destination and he saw how they was living, some people would say, well, hey, you know, hey Brother Hilliard, why didn't he just pack his bags and leave? Or why did he just go over to his uncle's side, like, hey, they over here sitting like crazy. You know, can we revisit this again? Or can, you know, do you have another solution? I mean, I guess other people, as I sometimes say, devil's advocate, like, why would he still stay there when he could have got another option, or he could have came to Abraham and it could have came up with another solution? I mean, I guess we'll never know, because like we always say, the Bible is always up for interpretation. You never know what's in a man's heart or in a man's thought until you're actually in that situation. And like you said earlier, a great point you brought up is, I sometimes think about how God created us in his image. But he put us down on this world, you know, for his purpose to be fulfilled. And each one of us have a purpose. But he also put us in a world where it's a sinful world. Even though he died for our sins, we still are in a sinful world where all types of sins going around. And it's just not homosexuality. There's so many things that we do that we know God.
Yeah, it's everything. It's from a lot. Like, his words said, a sin is a sin is a sin.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Like, he's black and white.
Yeah,
like,
but it's like, but I think the challenge you said earlier is, how can we as Christians stay in a sinful world and still not be conformed to this world? Because the Bible says, you know, don't be conformed to this world. How can we still have
the world?
How can we have these biblical standards, these biblical principles, and live out, you know, God's standards according to the Bible? It's a challenge every day trying to be that Christian, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been easy for him to join in.
Yeah.
They probably made it look like fun, stress-free, right?
But even today it's like that.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Where
you see people just...
It's the stereotype and the stigma that goes with being saved. Saved equals boredom, right? Me, I would have this idea like, you can't do this, you can't do that, because we correlate fun with certain behaviors.
Right.
Like, some individuals believe or have a hard time having fun or being in an atmosphere where there's music and dancing, but no alcohol, you know, like, and then it's like, wait, no, because I've had memorable moments with alcohol, or I've had memorable moments when I did this or I do that. So that's how we equate it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anything outside of that seems like boring or just unreal.
Right.
Or how even marriage, like, you want to be with that same person every day for the rest of your life? How does that happen when I was happiest when I was dating, or when I had variety, or when I was still trying to figure it out? So I think it just goes with, like, standing on just not what you feel, trusting God, his word. I mean, it tells us how to have a life with minimal mishaps, hiccups. And it's so wonderful that even if you do slip, fall, or not even if you do, when you do slip, fall, there's guidance, there's direction, there's a how to, what to do when you're in these situations. So God knows his children. I'm going to tell you what to do to prevent this situation. I'm going to tell you what to do when you're in this situation and who to turn to when you get out of this situation. And then even, like, just always being a God to send help. So, like, how God sent two angels for Lot.
Mm-hmm.
He should... Who has he sent in our lives? And did we listen? Like, he listened to them.
He probably didn't take it as serious. He probably like, oh, yeah. You know.
No, I'm sure he took it serious, but even, again, he's in the now. Just imagine right now, like, your life going good. Mm-hmm. And then within the twinkling of an eye, it only takes a call or a text. We live in a land of, like, social media where information can be shared quickly.
Yeah.
Like, news spreads fast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So remember, like, years prior where, you know, you had a house phone, and that was it. So I had to leave a message,
right?
But when you were gone, you were gone. But now it can find you, right? I can find out what's going on with a loved one immediately, who passed, who won the game, everything. News is shared so quickly now.
Right.
Like, it's just...
Right.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
How that happened. So with him, I just think like, okay, I'm in a situation. I hear this, and I'm back into making another decision that can affect everything. Like right now, mm-hmm. I don't think he took it like a joke or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, this is happening, and then reality, because we've done it, we'll do it.
How do you feel about when he guys, if you are listening, we are going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. As they always say, as Pastor Richard always say, go get you some coffee. I don't drink coffee. I'll tell you that right now. I may drink hazelnut coffee during Christmas time, but whatever your beverage choice, go get you some water, go get you a cup of coffee, go get you some tea. Go get you a donut or whatever, a snack, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
All right, guys, we are back. As we were doing this topic for this evening, I know we threw a lot at you. The whole Sodom and Gomorrah story, the Adam and Lot story, it is so much to grab from. You could grab so much food from that, and it would take another lesson to get into it. But I hope we didn't give you too much food that you couldn't digest. But let's do this right now. Let's open up the phone lines. If you're listening to the conversation, I would love to hear your thoughts. I would like to hear how you see the Abraham and Lot story, the Sodom and Gomorrah story. What are your thoughts about that? And then also, of course, the question for this evening, can bad company corrupt good character? So the number once again is... The number to call in is 646-668-8217. If you're on the call right now listening to our conversation, you're more than welcome to jump in. So I'm going to open up the line now and let you speak. Is any callers there who would like to say anything about our topic this evening? Everybody's quiet on me. Okay. Anybody like to jump in and give any comment? Wow, it's quiet as a mouse. That must mean I must be doing a great job. My mom always said, you're doing a good job and get quiet. Well, we're going to continue. I would love to hear from you once again. The number is 646
668-8217. If you're listening to our conversation this evening, you are more than welcome right now to jump in, give you one last chance to jump in and share some of your comments about our topic for this evening. So go ahead, call the caller. Quiet as a mouse. Okay. All right. Nobody wants to say anything. Okay. Well, we will continue. I think one of the things that my wife brought up that I thought was a very great point was when your God standards compromises the worldly standards. I can only imagine, and I would like to go back to that place where Lot was in a situation where he was trying to find the best solution possible. But the question I want to ask is, sacrificing his daughters, or as one of his suggestions, was offering up his two daughters, was that a great answer to give the man that came knocking at the door? I understand he didn't want the angels to be with the other men. I get that. That's just how Sodom and Gomorrah was at that time. But offering up your daughters as a solution to the problem, was that the best? Was that the only option that he had available?
No, that wasn't the right solution. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
That was not the right solution at all to offer up his daughters. And even when he offered up his daughters, they was wanting the angels. They didn't want his daughters. And they said they would do worse to him if he didn't let the angels come. But they had to pull him in. So he should not even have went out there at all. He was in the wrong place anyway, because he did not respect his uncle when his uncle told him, said, you look around, you choose where you. Mm-hmm. And when he saw that the it was watered good and all that, he chose that land. And that was the wrong place he went. It was just wrong altogether. Because he didn't give his uncle the respect that he should give his uncle. And anyway, Abraham pleaded with God for him. He didn't even realize that Abraham stood in the gap for him. And so that was wrong with him to plead, to tell the angels, I've got two daughters. They haven't even known him. And he's going to give his daughters to those vicious men. That was not right. So that was a wrong decision he did.
Wow. I got a question for you. What do you think that made him result to that decision when it came to life? What do you think?
I don't think God had the right. He just wasn't. He didn't have the right frame of mind.
Okay.
He did not have the right frame of mind. And a lot of times, I think we make decision when we're making the wrong decision.
According to today's standards, made a wrong decision. In those days, when hospitality was more than gold. So when someone came into your home to stay, you protected that person with your very life. So according to the hospitality standards of that time, Lot did what he thought was right. But according to today's standards, we would not look at it that way.
No.
I mean, you think about it.
And if you think back, I'll just put it this way. I'm in my 70s. And if a guest came to your house, you gave them your best. even if you got out of your bed and gave your bed to the guest, and you slept on the floor or you slept on the sofa. That was all part of the hospitality, and that is the part that I see that we brought with us whenever we came to this land. And that is the connection that I see with the Hebrew Israelites, with the people that we are talking about. We understood hospitality and how we serve others. And now we will say serving. We serve others by giving them our best.
But to look at, Lot knew the kind of men these were. He knew the kind of men these were. You have to look at that.
He knew the kind of men they were, but that is why he was protecting his guests from them, and that is why he offered up his daughters to those men, and he made known in that their preference was the men, those angels. So, you know, we are looking at it now through the lens of, I don't remember the hospitality, the extent that the hospitality went, but my understanding was that was why he offered his daughters to the men, to protect those angels.
I heard the caller say earlier that Lot didn't make good decisions. And when she said that, I thought, you know, God didn't call Lot. He called Abraham.
Right.
And it led me to wonder if perhaps Lot separated from Abraham prematurely. Abraham was a wise man, and Lot asked to know his separation. And, you know, he chose what he thought looked good, would appear to be nice, but perhaps he left a little prematurely. You know, I can't help but to wonder what would have happened if Lot would have stuck a little closer to Abraham. Mm.
Right.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but go back to the garden. If you go back to the garden, all of this stuff started in the garden. And you go back there and you see how the enemy, who did the enemy approach? He didn't approach the one that God has given the command. He approached the woman. And he allowed the woman then to convince the man. So sound like there's something similar took place in this situation that took place in the garden. That's something to think about.
Weaker one.
Thank
weaker
you.
One.
Yeah, you know, when we started the discussion, it led me, when we started the discussion, the question was, does bad company corrupt good character? And think about purpose and character. And we have to know whether we are the thermometer or the thermostat.
And
so if we are hanging around with other people, you know, it's up to us to the light. To bring that character forward. And I believe that Abraham was doing that, but I just feel like perhaps Lot He was just ready to go, but he didn't realize that he was with the blessing. He was with the one.
Right.
Yeah.
And he didn't have what Abraham had.
Oh,
he didn't have
sure
what Abraham had. And like you said, if you hang around the wrong crowd long enough, if you're not careful, you will end up following the wrong crowd and taking on their habits and all that. That's just the way it is. I don't know why, but you can't, like the minister was saying, like they used to say, one apple was for the whole barrel. And I've heard that too. So that happens. Just like if you see some bad kids and they lying, they stealing and doing, it ain't that you think your child's better than those, but you don't want your child hanging with those kids because they can start taking those habits and doing just like those kids. And they end up doing the same thing. And if the police stop them, if your child's with him and he's not even doing those things, he's going to go to jail just like with them. You can't let your child hang with bad kids because they'll end up doing the same thing if they hang long enough. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you have to applaud.
But can I ask a question? Do you think that even though you have a good kid and he may hang around some kids that are bad, you have instilled such good in him to make good decisions and good choices, and you show him the difference between what they can do and how they can corrupt you, that at some point in time, that kid will walk away from the kids themselves because they don't want to become that?
He can walk
away.
He eventually, because no matter... To me, when you have a kid, sometimes they don't believe what you're saying.
Right.
A lot of times, you know, kids will say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. But once they see one incident, they can stand back and see that one incident. And they will say, oh, wow, I don't want to be involved in that. Let me start pulling away. Don't you think a kid will do that? Or we as adults do that?
That can happen too, but sometimes it goes the
other
way.
That happened with me.
That's free will, though.
That happened with me. Yeah, I was just giving a testimony. That happened with me. Okay, I grew up in the church, and I sit there and I became disenchanted with what I heard and what I saw because I didn't feel they were recognizing me. But when I got into the world, some of that which I learned, I had certain boundaries that I wouldn't go past. There were certain things that I wouldn't do. And yeah, there is something like, what is that scripture? Teach, train up a child the way to go and they will not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. One other thing point that came to me as you all were talking, I was late coming on, but what I was able to, I started applying that to our political situation and came into an understanding of what is happening now is, it always been there. It was in the hearts of those individuals that are doing all that evil stuff now. And it took one person who was in a position of power and authority to give them permission to do exactly what they are doing. And it wasn't new. It was, like I said, it was in them all the time.
Wow.
And then because they did not have the boundaries, they did not have the faith, they did not have that spiritual connectedness that we who reject that They didn't have that. And I classify them as being, right, they did not have, they was into idolatry.
Right.
They was into idol worship. And their God served them. Whereas we serve our God. To me, that's the distinction that when I applied what I was here to this situation that we are dealing with now. And that was the distinction that I was led to.
You know, I had a revelation. You know, I think we have to applaud Abraham's wisdom. When Lot asked for release, Abraham gave it to him. He said, okay, no problem. And then, so the first thing was he gave him the release. And then number two, he gave them the release with the blessing. He gave him first pick.
He did.
And then he continued to intercede. He continued to pray for him.
Yes, he did.
And then number four, he even petitioned for him. So to that mother, you know, you said, do you think it's possible? I agree. I was one of those kids who hung around with everybody, and I'm still one of those adults. I feel like I am everywhere because I promise you I'm the thermostat. And I have always felt like, you know, sometimes you will be the only light that people see. And so for the mother talking about the child, you know, your child might be the only light that they see. You know, but, you know, as you continue to talk to him and help him make decisions and teach him how to think, you know, when people want to let go and do bad things, you know, we had an incident earlier this last week with my nieces where my nieces were together and one of the nieces told her sister, she said, come on, let's go. Don't go there. And the sister decided to continue going with this crowd of people and she ended up getting in a fight. You know, and if the sister wouldn't have let her go, they would have both been in a fight. But you have to know how to give people their release with the blessing, but continue to pray for pray for them and intercede for them. And Abraham,
Well, Ms. Thermostat, I got a question for you.
No, she's a thermometer.
Oh, she's a thermometer? Oh, she's a thermometer? Okay.
I'm a thermostat. That's a temperature.
Oh, she's a thermostat. She said she's a thermostat.
Okay.
So, Ms. Thermostat, or even the ones that are listening, can you share or point out when someone was the thermostat or thermometer in this scenario?
What does that look like?
What does that look like in this scenario?
Okay, so Abraham, God called him. God called Abraham. God told Abraham what to do. He gave him instructions. And he gave a promise to Abraham. And in chapter 12, verse 1, you know, he told him, if you do what I tell you to do, then you'll be father of a great nation and I'll bless you. And I will bless you and curse those who curse you. So Abraham knew. he had instructions, and I feel like Abraham was on a mission. He knew what he had to do.
He was.
And Lot, you know, when he was there in that situation, those men banging on his door, thermostat, you know, it was hot, and he was under pressure, you know. And he rising, gave in to the pressure.
And maybe he felt like that was the only option that he had. Like one of the callers I just said something not too long back. He said something about back then that how it was. I remember growing up, guys, when family would come out of town, and my mom would make me give up my room. I'd be like. And I had a nice room, a big room, but she offered up that room. She ain't offered me up, but she definitely offered up that room. But you know, when like you said before, Ms. Thermostat, when that thermostat is high, maybe he felt that was the only option that he had. And we'll never know about that person. Like if people say, you know, you never know a person's character until they actually face adversity. But I always ask myself, like, why did he stay? Why did he stay? I just don't know why he stayed.
What if he was fearful of his own life, his own survival?
Yeah.
When you're afraid or fearful, you have a tendency to offer up things or do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. So maybe he was willing to sacrifice his daughter for his own survival.
I'm thinking about it as a kid. Well, when you were a kid and your parents tell you shouldn't have did, don't go do something, and you knew better, and they told you, they laid everything out for you, explained everything, but you went and did it anyway. And then your mama come at you with the belt. You start offering up everything. Mama, I promise. Mama, I love you, Mama. Mama, I'm not saying, Mama, I couldn't get you. Still got that whooping.
Man, Carly, you telling the truth. I ain't gonna lie, man.
When she explained it about Lot and Moses, that's what came to my mind right away. God told Moses, I give you everything. You do this, you do that. He gave them all the instructions, like our parents do. But we still go out there and do, and Mama waiting for you at the door with that. The worst one is when she tell you to go out there and pick your own switch.
You're right. Don't get a weak one. If you get a weak one, that breaks, you're in worse shape than you would if you got a good one in the beginning.
They locked one of them in this position because they told him to go one direction into the mountains, and he was afraid to go there, and he to go a different direction together.
Yeah, it could also be that not wanting to face the, like you guys are saying, that I told you, show the shame would have meant, oh, man, I made the wrong decision, right? So it's just I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to just pray. It changes because sometimes pride, right? It's hard to say I messed up or to give someone the upper hand and say, you were right. Like, it would be so much easier to, you know, give that person that moment to gloat, to do whatever it is they're going to do or say whatever they're going to say. But then relief, have that immediate relief. But sometimes we run into people or situations where pride, right, save face for a minute just to not allow that person to know, like, hey, you were right or I failed or I made a mistake. So I wonder if that had anything to do with it. When I couldn't say they tricked me, right, like I think of the Esau or anything, or that I didn't know. No, I made a decision, and it was the wrong one, and boy, did I mess it up. Like, So I wonder if that played a part. When you have opportunity like that to do whatever it is that you think is like right, and you still mess it up, put yourself back in that versus
that's a good race. One.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But that also goes back, like she was talking about, like being a kid, you know, how you get to offering up everything. Please, no. And then when we get of age, well, we think we know everything and we think we have life figured out at what, 14, 15? And to hear I told you so, nobody wants to hear that. You know, we'll continue to date the bad dude or we're going to make this relationship work because mama was not right, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of like that movie. kind of like that movie that we saw. Jarrell, was about the girl who was raised up in the church. Her father was a preacher. She's from the group Destiny Child, was in the group of Destiny Child, but she wound up going on the circuit singing with, you know, these circular singers. And that's how she wanted to get her big break. But when she got out there, they were drinking and smoking and doing everything. But her father told her that she was to leave to go on the circuit. He told her not to come back. So when she was out there, she realized that everything her father said to her was true. And I think the reason why he was protecting her, because he didn't want her to get around that bad company. Mm. And like you said before, when she got out there, she couldn't come back home. She just.
But we do it all the time. We do it. You know, it looks different. It's mm-hmm. easy for us to say things when we're on the outside end or what's right or wrong. But if we do, you know, evaluate some things, I think we all can pinpoint areas where we were like, I wish I would have just told Mama you was right. And then let her get her gloat on or, you know, say whatever she has to say, but or Dad, that you was right. Get their gloat on, and then I, you know, learn the lesson and I move on.
Uh-huh.
We do it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just comes with it. I think it's just how you respond
yeah.
to the situation. Like when you are wrong, do you continue to make that same mistake? Because then it's not a mistake. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's when are you going to get this lesson? When are you going to figure it out? So I just think he was in two situations where he had to make a decision quickly, on the spot. Like imagine someone coming in your house right now telling you make a decision and make you be surprised. You know, like with the then and now. Like, and we all have times where if we can do over, you know, some situations or whatnot, we would. So it's just in the heat of the moment, when they say when life happens or when you have individuals who don't believe in God or state they don't believe in God, but, like, that car is laying off the road, who they calling on? Jesus, help me, please. How quickly have you converted?
You can't get me out of this situation.
or we'll get ourselves in something. We get, like they were saying, in negotiations with the Lord. Lord, if you just get me out of this, I promise I won't. You know, it happens. So in situations like this, where in a blink of an eye, I think things happen in life or your faith and things are tested, you better know what to hold on to and what to like grasp. You will see in those moments pressure, like how strong you are in your faith, the areas of opportunity, because we all fall, areas we still need to grow, you know, and just to see like where you are in Christ. And, oh, yeah, Lord, I still need thee. I do. So, and lessons that are learned along the way, like you losing your wife. It was a difference even in him, even in the decision. And that we all got the same instructions. Well, they did, right?
Yeah.
Go this way, take nothing, don't look back, right? Same, heard the same message, but we had a different response.
Yeah.
Life kept going. His wife
but you
was
know
back.
What?
We have individuals in our
but
life.
You know what?
Back.
But you know what? You know what I thought about when you said that? Everybody hears things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hears things differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And everybody, when they hear things differently, they go different ways.
Mm-hmm.
One could say, I heard it this way. One could say, I heard it that way. And everybody back and forth what was said. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the need to be accepted is greater than knowing right from wrong, doing right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the unfortunate thing about it.
Yeah.
We want
to
be accepted.
Like, blending.
Even though we know it's wrong, we know, but we want to be accepted.
Yeah. I sometimes think that life is trying so hard, trying to blend in. And trying to fit in and still trying to hold up these kinds of standards. Because I mean, you think about it like this, Sherelle. You're like, he was in this Sodom and Gomorrah place, and he could have, you know, he could have left. He could have did a lot of things.
But don't you think
he was trying to blend in to fit in and still be like, hey, I still don't want to be a part of these principles and things they're doing, but I still want to stay here and blend in. It's like
you can't do both.
It's like
you can't do both.
Right. You can't. He's still afraid. He's still with a
man. You can't do
man.
Both.
Well, let's get it this way, if I may interject. Maybe Lot wasn't concerned about fitting in so much because when the angel showed up, he was on the outside of the city. He was not within the city. He was an outside. He was not participating.
Right.
What was going on within the city. He knew what was going on, and he probably felt his daughters were safe because of their gender, because they were female.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when the angels came, when the men came, he felt a need to protect them because they were under his roof. And he felt a need to protect them. And at that point, if you want to look at it, he chose right over being acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
He chose what was right over being accepted.
Now, you made another point there. He knew that those men did not want his daughters. Because
yes.
That wasn't their sexual preference. So he could offer his daughters up to them, knowing that they would not receive them, and that they were still safe, but hopefully that those men would have respected him enough to leave the angels alone because he offered his daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, and the perversion was so great that even his sons-in-law, his intended daughters, intended fiancés, were a part of that crowd. Scripture says because he offered them to come go with him. They were in the crowd. He offered them to come go with him, and they turned him down.
You know, another part of it, I think that Lot perhaps is guilty because he beckoned the angels in. You know, he begged them to come in and stay in his home. And the angel said, oh, no, you know, no, thank you. We'll just stay out here on the street. But Lot was persistent, and he beckoned them in. So perhaps he felt a very strong sense of responsibility because he begged them to come in.
But did he know they were angels at the time? When he beckoned them to come in, did he know they were angels, or did he just think they were strangers sojourning and he was going to give them the protection of his home?
That is a good point. And the reason I'm saying it's a good point, when I was in college, I went home, and I started going to this club, and I was met at the door by an individual who I thought I knew, but when I contacted him later, it wasn't him. He said that that was an angel. I thought I knew that person. And God sent angels in a way that we would not be fearful of them and that we would receive them. It's interesting.
Yes.
Who was the thought?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know if Lot knew that they were angels. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Do you think he perhaps invited them in to protect them from everything on the outside to begin with?
Yes, I do. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew what the city, he knew what the temperature, as you said, temperature, thermostat, the temperature of the city. He knew what the temperature of the city was. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting dark. Scripture says it was getting dark. So these men came out at dark, and when darkness hit, they came out. And word got around very quickly that there was some fresh. There was some fresh meat in town. Okay.
Yeah, so, good looking men were in town.
I ain't gonna say it.
So I believe when I read that scripture, I think of Lot. When I think about it, I think of him on a self-protecting gift. I can't prove it. Scripture doesn't say, but that's the register talking.
Well, long as the Holy Spirit was revealing it to you, it's a little bit more than you talking. It's the Spirit of God that's speaking through you, because what you, we're all at a different place in our relationship with God. No matter how old we are, how long we've been, our relationship is different. And your relationship is different from mine. And what you experienced in your relationship, I didn't experience. But whenever you said that, it made spiritual sense to me. And I could equate it to a situation in my life that I had. Whenever I encountered an angel that I thought was a person that I knew.
This has been a great conversation this evening, guys. I have enjoyed each and every one of you guys this evening. It's so much, like I said before, there's so much you can grab from this story. And I like the caller that talked about the thermostat and a thermometer. Like, I think my mother was the thermometer, and I think I was the thermostat, because she showed made sure that I stayed away from those bad thermostats. I mean, you know, like, I remember when I was younger, somebody would call you on the phone, and your mom knew about this person, whether from the neighborhood or whatever, and sometimes my mom wouldn't even tell me the person called, because she didn't want me, as one of the callers said, she didn't want some of those bad habits to rub off on me. And now that I'm a Christian, you know, the challenge every day is trying to be an example for Christ, trying to be a representative for Christ, but still live in this world, you know, where all things happen every single day.
And that is a chore within itself. And that is the crux of the whole topic of this show tonight. Because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But yet and still, we are tempted constantly, each and every day. We're tempted constantly. I don't care where you are, at home, going to the store, work, even going to church. We are constantly being tempted. You know? And that's why it is, you know, the fourth chapter of Luke is so important, because when Lucifer tried to tempt Christ, Christ always went back to the Word. And that is something we should incorporate as part of our lives. We should imbibe the Word on a daily basis. Only protection that we have. Only protection we have to be able to make it through this world totally protected at all times.
That's a great point. That is a great point. Man. That is a great point. Anybody else like to share before we leave this evening? Anybody else? Not even Miss Thermostat have anything to say.
Brother Hillier, I would like for you to close the show with a prayer.
All right. It sounds awesome. That is sounds awesome.
A prayer of blessing for everyone.
All right. All right. Everybody bow your head, bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for the individuals that are on this conversation, this show with me this evening. I thank you, God, for the openness and the transparency and the vulnerability for everyone to share their opinions and their comments. Lord, I ask you, God, to help each and every individual on this phone call to be able to be in this world, but to be in this world, but not to be conformed to this world. Every day, as Pastor said, it is a test. But we can use the word of God to get through these situations. And I just pray for everybody, God, that you will protect them this week, that you will guide them, that you will direct them, that you will allow this conversation to be food for thought for this whole entire week, and that whenever a situation that they're in, to be reminded of the story between Abraham and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And God, I just thank you for allowing them to be with us this evening. Protect each and every household. Walk with them and guide them and lead them as they travel along this way. And as my wife said, this thing called life. And so, God, I just thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice. I thank each and every person for joining us this evening. And God, as always, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And I thank everybody for joining us this evening. And as I said before, hopefully Pastor Reddish will be back with us next week in her own way. And I thank her for the opportunity to just be a vessel to speak to her people, to speak to God's people this evening. So you guys have a wonderful evening, a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week.
Amen.
Amen.